Hello everybody, it's George from Ireland. Well, welcome back to my channel, and this is talking about the Syrian civil war flaring up again in 2025. It was just before Christmas 2024 when the Assad regime collapsed quite suddenly after 13 years of civil war, because a few months earlier it seemed like they'd largely won, were controlling more than half the country, and all of a sudden they weren't. They were exhausted, and major dramatic advances by the rebels, okay, led by al-Sharaa, who'd formerly been in the al-Nusra Front, an al-Qaeda affiliate. And since he's had some contacts with the US government, there's talk about recognizing him. So there's this new government of national unity, but not recognized as a legitimate government by most countries. I suppose, strictly speaking, they recognize Bashir al-Assad, but Dr. Assad, who hightailed it to Moscow, not even telling his own brother. He doesn't even style himself president of the Syrian Arab Republic anymore. So a similar situation to what happened in Afghanistan with the Taliban, although the Taliban's evil with the new Syrians who took over the insurgents is not quite so clear. I mean, there was good and bad on both sides. Now, some of the rebels were even worse than Assad, and he was a monstrous tyrant, but some of them wanted a free society. At the moment, it doesn't seem to be that bad, not reintroducing a Sharia state, quite merciful. Don't know if there are any executions so far, but yes, there's some clashes. And of course, people are lusting for vengeance. People suffered a horrendous oppression under Assad for decades. You know, a lot of people were disappeared or held in jails in brutal conditions for years without trial or charge, or totally unfair charges. Simply attending a demonstration could get you years in prison incommunicado. And there was the wide-scale use of the most horrendous tortures, and there was the willful murder of tens of thousands of civilians, starving them to death, gassing them, and so on. And the Assad regime lied and lied and lied and lied about what it was doing, and the Russian regime backed them to the hilt. So did the Chinese, and there are a lot of leftards in Western countries who are backing up Assad's government. Not that his enemies were all good. Just because Assad was evil, and he certainly was evil, that doesn't automatically mean that all his foes were delightful. But the situation seemed to be getting better. Syrians seemed to be cautiously optimistic. Some of them coming back. Flights were restored for the first time in years to Qatar, to Saudi Arabia, to Turkey, and so on. Foreign money coming in. He met President Trump. Foreign leaders met him. Seemed to have acceptance. The Turkish army still occupying northern Syria. Now, Syria's in no fit state to fight, can't push them out. The United States is occupying some of Syria against the Syrians' will. Now, the Syrians didn't push too hard on that when their new leader met President Trump, and so on. Israel was still occupying the Golan Heights illegally, and so on. So the presence of three foreign armies, the Russians still have those two bases, which the new Syrian dispensation seems to tolerate. Are they getting more money out of it? But, you know, were it not for the Russians, Assad would have been overthrown a long time earlier. So would they light them out as well? But, you know, they really don't want more fighting. You know, they just had enough of fighting. And even then, defenseless Syria, Israel's bombed it, despite Syria being no threat to them whatsoever. But then it was horrific that there was a massacre of some Druze people. So the Druze were fighting some of the Bedouin. The Bedouin, as in they're meant to be nomads, are almost all Sunni Muslims. So the Druze, who are the Druze? The Druze are people who split off Shia Islam in about the 10th century AD. There was Abu Hakam, who was king of Cairo. And one evening he went for a walk in the crepuscular time of the countryside, in the hills to the west of Al-Qahira, and never came back. So this is the great occultation. He's hidden for centuries, but one day he'll come back. Just like even mainstream Shia also believe in occultation. There's the hidden imam. And so the Druze, they're not regarded as Muslims by other Mohammedans, and not to call their prayer houses, mosques, and so forth. There are only about 2 million of them. They got two levels of initiates. Only about a tenth of them are in the inner circle. And a significant proportion of them, up to 10% of all the Druze in the world, live in Israel. They're Israeli citizens, Arabic speaking, but, you know, they're shunned by mainstream Islam and so on. And so the Druze have only held out in mountainous areas of Lebanon and Syria apart from that. And in Syria, they tend to live in the south, not that far from the Israeli border. And the Druze community in Israel agitated that Prime Minister Netanyahu would save the co-religionists. So anything to divide and enfeeble Syria is good from the point of view of the Jewish state. So, I mean, the Druze people said don't feel sorry for them. They're such a minority. On the other hand, was it the other side? Was it they who initiated? I don't know who started it. I mean, obviously, they don't want anyone to be killed. They don't want to be fighting. They don't want civilians to be killed. Was it six, one and a half dozen of another? It's difficult to know what to believe because claim and counterclaim. So earlier this month, and this is 10 days ago or more, that was fighting, said up to 1,000 people were killed. Okay, some of them were combatants, some of them were not, and so on. So the Druze, they tended to back Assad because they thought if there was a sort of Al-Qaeda or Al-Nusra type front leadership, the Islamic State, you know, in charge, they would annihilate the Druze because they hate them for not being, you know, Sunni Muslims and so on. There's all fighting around the Suwayda area. So now Druze people say that the new Syrian government, the Bedouin, that they murdered hundreds of Druze civilians. How much of that's true, I don't know. I'm not sort of affirming or denying anything. So it's obviously very dangerous for international journalists to be there. So it's hard to know what to believe. Are people exacting vengeance because of the Druze being backers of the former president Assad? So around Suwayda, particularly 13th of July, there was fighting there. Some of the Druze are still armed to the teeth, saying we need to be for self-preservation. I mean, there are estimates up to 1,300 Druze killed. Anyway, tens of thousands of people have fled the area. So they tried to organize a ceasefire. Some of the Druze said, no, let's fight on, and so on. People have claimed that clinics have been deliberately targeted. So that's why on the 16th of July, the Israeli Air Force, they launched airstrikes on the Syrian army HQ in Damascus, various Ministry of Defense edifices and so on, and around the presidential palace. Now, not many people were killed, but there were a lot of injuries. And so Tel Aviv said they did this to save the Druze and to prevent the Syrian army coming to Suwayda. So back off or you'll get more of the same. And Syria doesn't have an air force to speak of, doesn't have air defense and so on. The Syrians correctly said this was a gross violation of their national sovereignty and so on. So Turkey and Saudi Arabia both denounced what was going on. There is no love lost between Turkey and Syria. If you go back, sorry, Turkey and Israel. If you go back 20 years ago, Syria had, sorry, not Turkey, Turkey had quite cordial relations with Israel, better than almost any other Muslim country. But you see how strained they are now. So the United States neither condemned nor condoned the Israeli action. So the Syrian army has got the message because they don't want to be bombed even more. Syria suffered just so badly. Seems a ceasefire is holding. And obviously Israel has grabbed more land since al-Sharaa took over. So it appears that the Druze are hostile to al-Sharaa's administration, consider him to be a threat. So Sheikh Hikmat al-Hijri, he's the leader of the Druze in Syria, and he said, no, we shouldn't have this ceasefire. The terms are unfavorable to us. And perhaps he's fairly optimistic they could do well. They could carve out a fiefdom. They have the Israeli Defense Forces on their side. So President al-Sharaa, he's trying to bring minorities into his cabinet. He has Christians or Shias and so on in his cabinet as well. I don't know if he's got any Druze. That's it. Goodness. Now, it would obviously serve Israel's interests to see Syria enfeebled, embroiled in inter-Nissan conflict indefinitely. And Syria is hard to function as a state when you have the Israelis, the Turks, the Americans, and the Russians, with forces in your country. And that could be a four-sided civil war, each side backed by different countries. So would it not be better for Syria if all foreign troops left? I think that's what the Syrians want. If you're there, you shouldn't be there with the permission of the Syrians, not illegally occupying their land. It's very, very sad. Obviously, I want the best for Syria. I want peace. I know it's glib to say, hard to achieve. Peace on what terms? That's to be thrashed out. But and obviously, no one should be mistreated. You know, that obviously includes the Druze. So how can they be made to feel secure? So al-Sharaa has got to do a very long way to reassure them. Anyway, thank you for watching my channel. Make sure you subscribe on Patreon, donate to PayPal, georgecallan7 at gmail.com. Goodbye.